Welcome to My Medieval Mayhem, the podcast where we discuss medieval literature, history, and medievalism. I'm Marcel Losada, resident medieval scholar, apparently a denier of the feds. So we'll stick with that one. Here with my brother, Jan Michael Losada.
Printing a ghost gun and also the denier of many feds. Yes, I am Jan Michael Losada, the literal brother of our host, Marcel.
Yeah. So today we've got quite a few stories. Jan, I am going to throw a bunch of bullshit at you. You're going to love it all. I'm going to tell you right now.
A bunch of bullshit, meaning like a bunch of mini stories or like one big story of bullshit? Or
so right now I'm gonna give you two stories, but really it's the first story has two accounts, so
kind of a Rashomon stories? Kind of a, yeah. Rashomon sort of thing where like you're seeing the same thing from different perspectives.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Wow. So,
you'll see. Well, two accounts. Yeah, you'll I don't know if it's exactly Rashomon as I'm looking at it. So let me
you remember Rashomon, yeah?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You get the story told from different ways. You know, it makes sense that way. It's they use it a lot to teach point of view.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah, because,
yeah,
well,
it's a famous Kurosawa film, for those of you that aren't aware, about a samurai doing some samurai shit, and it's told from many different perspectives, including a ghost, which is my favorite chapter.
I love it. So let's see here. These are not samurai, although samurai and knights could have fought. They occurred at the same time.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
the code
why
of Bushido and chivalry were kind of co-developed. Yeah.
Huh.
Or concurrently developed, I should say. They didn't like work together or anything.
I'm almost certain I've seen a show or two that's like, who would win in a fight?
Yeah.
Because we're medieval mayhem, we're Western based. We're rooting for the knights, right? We're rooting knights.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate, you know. Let's see. I don't know. You know, I mean, it becomes like who's the best at this stuff. You know, I know that the steel is superior in Europe for making swords. And that's why the Japanese have incredible like sword making techniques.
Yeah, where they fold the steel.
Exactly. Huh. Yeah. And so in European steel doesn't need that treatment to be, you know, pretty to be hardened. Yeah.
To be a good killing machine. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Essentially. Yeah. Whereas they did, but they figured it out. Right. So I don't know. You know, I think those questions are just kind of like, it depends, you know.
Oh, always. Of course.
Yeah. Are we favoring the knights? Sure. Let's pick a side. Let's go there.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Long live the knights. Here.
All right. So, let's start with this first one. I'm trying to think of a bit of a question I could ask you here to get you into it. Jan, let me start with what is a foreigner to you?
A foreigner?
Yeah. A true foreigner. A true foreigner. Think. Yeah.
I mean, because I'm a simpleton, the first thing that comes to mind is Borat. Now, I understand, again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. So, but that is my knee-jerk reaction. So a foreigner doesn't fully grasp the language, though Borat's pretty good, all things considered. He's got English down pretty well. They come from a place of probably from other soil, probably with an ocean between us or something like that. They have different traditions. They have different values. Yeah, I'd say. Borat, to me, a foreigner, like, open up the Webster's Jan version of the dictionary, it is Borat in there.
Okay. Okay. I like that. I don't even know where to start with this. I'm getting jammed up a bit because I'm trying to find a decent segue, but I think we can revisit
very
that.
Nice.
And just...
Oh, you should have, I don't know. Yeah.
My wife.
Exactly. Right. I'm trying to find a way to wedge in my wife.
I heard Elon Musk says that just, you know, more often than he should. And
that kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah, yeah. Same here.
I will say Pamela Anderson back in the news. She's having a resurgence in her career. So hey,
interesting. All right. Let's go right into it. So this is the translation of Historia Rerum Anglicarum by William of Newburgh, as it was presented in 1856 by Joseph Stevenson. So it's been modernized a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and you'll see that this does relate to medieval texts in a way.
That's later than I figured. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's kind of how it starts. Nor does it seem right to pass over an unheard of prodigy, which, it, as it is well known, took place in England during the reign of King Stephen. So prodigy.
Wait. We opened with nor does it
seem right to pass over. It's a very flowery way of saying you should listen to this, right?
Sure. Great. That's still just wow. First opening sentence feels like the middle of chapter two. Cool. Great. Giddy up.
Yeah, and this is probably taken from a section of like crazy stories is what I'm gathering. So we are kind of dropping the needle in the middle of the track. Yeah. A prodigy in this case means like a big event, right? Like a miracle or a weird event.
Okay. So not like a person that's very good at a thing, but rather a big event. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
King Stephen from 1092 to 1096. We're not sure when he was born to 1154. So, you know, roughly the 12th century, beginning middle 12th century.
See that these are the years I'm expecting in a medieval podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is proper medieval 1100. Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. That's the top of the curb. That's that's where we need that. That's where we need the meat of the story. Yeah.
Yeah. Though it is asserted by many, yet I have long been in doubt concerning the matter and deemed it ridiculous to give credit to a circumstance supported on no rational foundation, or at least one of a very mysterious character. So he's saying, you know, these events just seem crazy. Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Or at the very least, right? Very mysterious.
Okay.
Yet at length, I was so overwhelmed by the weight of so many and such competent witnesses that I have been compelled to believe and wonder over a matter which I was unable to comprehend or unravel by any powers of intellect.
Wow. So he's just confounded. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of burying the lead here. It better be a Cthulhu. Like, this better be mind-blowing.
In East Anglia, all right, so that's a part of England. Guess which part?
The east part.
Ah!
Hey!
Or at least more easterly. But the Anglia part is...
That like Wales or where...
No, it's on the other side. So East Anglia is 100% east, but it's kind of on the, well, if the England part's kind of towards the middle, it's one of the like bulging out things, into the North Sea. It's well past the English Channel north. So it's not part of the English Channel, but it's like directly on the other side of Wales. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. In East Anglia, there is a village distant, as it is said, 4 or 5 miles from the noble monastery of the blessed king and martyr, Edmund. Near this place are seen some very ancient cavities called wolf pits. That is, in English, pits for wolves.
Okay. Yep. Good. Yep. I was going to ask, but there it is. There it is. Cool. So We used to just have pits for wolves. Is that like a dog kennel today? What?
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Looking it up, it seems like maybe a den, right? Just a
Okay,
place
like a
where
wolf's
wolves
den.
are. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, sure.
And which gave name to the adjacent village, Wolpet, a market town. During harvest, while the reapers were employed in gathering in the produce of the fields, two children, a boy and a girl, completely green in their persons and clad in garments of a strange color and unknown materials, emerged from these excavations.
Okay, so like the part that I'm really focused on is the green part, because
Okay.
that's okay. That's they emerged, sure, from a wolf's den. Crazy. Green, so are they the Green Knight's children? Is this the Rugrats version of the Green Knight? What?
Yeah, it just says, right? Two children, a boy and a girl, completely green in their person, so in their color. Yeah, they're fully clear, clad in garments of a strange color, unknown materials.
Okay. Hit me.
While wandering through the fields in astonishment, they were seized by the reapers and conducted to the village, and many persons coming to see so novel a sight, they were kept some days without food. But when they were nearly exhausted with hunger and yet could relish no species of support which was offered to them, it happened that some beans were brought in from the field, which they immediately seized with avidity and examined the stalk for the pulse. But not finding it in the hollow of the stalk, they wept bitterly. Upon this, one of the bystanders, taking the beans from the pods, offered them to the children, who seized them directly and ate them with pleasure.
Okay. So they found some beans, and who wept?
So the kids, they
They,
second.
okay, so they wept at the fact that the beans were like taken out of the ground, or
Yeah, it seems like it. Like they're
okay,
looking
and
for the
then they
pulse of this
ate
thing.
them?
Yeah, and then one of the bystanders took the beans from them. So they gave them the pods, and they were sad. But then they opened them up, and they ate the seeds. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. A whirlwind of emotions. I like we're dealing with in my mind. If I was playing this D&D campaign and I was one of the players standing here, my knee jerk reaction is those are pod babies, right? Those are plant babies. Those aren't people. You can't trust them. They're gonna poison ivy out on us any second. They're gonna start fucking floating. Flowers are going to start coming out and they're going to start spraying shit. Yeah.
Okay. By this food, they were supported for many months until they learned the use of bread.
Okay, great. So I'm sorry, we've already advanced a few months. Many, many
Oh,
months,
it's
not a
time in a
few.
medieval story. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
At length, by degrees, they changed their original color through the natural effect of our food and became like ourselves and also learned our language. It seemed fitting to certain discreet persons that they should receive the sacrament of baptism, which was administered accordingly. The boy, who appeared to be the younger, surviving the baptism but a little time, died prematurely.
What? Holy shit. We just took a left turn. Holy shit. And like the way they wrote that kind of makes it seem like the reason he died is because he was baptized. Bro, save a kid. Don't baptize him. Like, fuck.
It definitely reads that way. The way that it's intended is he survived after the baptism a little time, but it is kind of funny. It does kind of seem like they baptism and that knocked him cold, right? His
100%, yeah.
his sister, however, continued in good health and differed not in the least from the women of our own country. Afterwards, as it is reported, she was married at Lynn and was living a few years since, at least so they say. Moreover, after they had acquired our language, on being asked who and whence they were, they are said to have replied, "We are inhabitants of the land of Saint Martin, who is regarded with peculiar veneration in the country which gave us birth."
Oh, okay. Which Saint Martin, what did he do? What was his death?
So Saint Martin he became a Christian and resigned from the army. He was later a Bishop of Tours in France. He's the patron saint of soldiers, beggars, and France.
Weird, like gambit he's got, but sure, all right, great.
Yeah.
Soldiers and beggars, a lot of soldiers become beggars.
Yeah, it's
Okay.
also worth it. To say, I wanted to add patron saint of many communication. He's patron saint of many communities and organizations across Europe. France's Third Republic is one thing, so it doesn't necessarily have to be those things. It could, the sword thing is also ties to Mars, right? So that's
Okay.
kind of fun too, right? To play
Sure.
with. Being further asked where the land was and how they came thence hither, they answered, "We are ignorant of both of these circumstances. We only remember this, that on a certain day, when we were feeding our father's flocks in the fields, we heard a great sound, such as we are now accustomed to hear at St. Edmund's when the bells are chiming. And whilst listening to the sound in admiration, we became on a sudden, as it were, entranced, and found ourselves among you in the fields where you were reaping."
Okay. Oh, great. Go on.
Being questioned whether in that land they believed in Christ or whether the sun arose, they replied that the country was Christian and possessed churches, but said
Fuck them. This is your first goddamn question?
they.
Well, do we believe in the same guy who got zapped? Or, all right, cool. Great. Sure.
Yeah, it really tells you about the time, right?
Yeah, that's the first thing forward. And like, is it that kind of the only game in town around those parts until you hit the Middle East? Like,
And no, you'll see in some stories. It's a lot more.
oh no, around these parts, we believe in Thor. Like, okay, cool.
primarily in Europe, yes, Christianity and the Catholic Church were a nigh unstoppable force, right?
Yeah.
That being said, there were big pockets of other religions traveling throughout. So mostly, there's lots of. Like there's Jewish sections and stuff like that. There's a pogrom that happens later that kind of drives them out. But
Sure.
that's like one of the ones I can, with prior to King Philip, there's tons of communities and stuff like that. And that's what you would potentially find, right?
Okay. Here I was coming at it a little too aggressive, I guess.
No, I think there's a flavor of that that you can have, but it was like, hey, are they one of us or not? Is that mentality present? Yes, very much.
Okay.
So then she says, "The sun does not rise upon our countrymen. Our land is little cheered by its beams. We are contented with that twilight, which among you precedes the sunrise or follows the sunset." So it's always dark where they live. Yep.
Okay.
"Moreover, a certain luminous country is seen not far distant from ours and divided from it by a very considerable river. These and many other numbers matters too numerous to particularize, they are said to have recounted to curious inquirers. Let everyone say as he pleases and reason on such matters according to his abilities. I feel no regret at having recorded an event so prodigious and miraculous."
Wow. Okay. Go on.
That's the end of that entry. That's yeah, it's like an article in a news story.
Wait. So roll back. Just hit me with the last bit one more time.
So moreover, a certain luminous country is seen not different
Right.
distant from
Okay.
ours, divided from it by a very considerable
Big
river.
river. Yeah. Okay.
And then they yada yada yada. "These and many other matters, too numerous to particularize, they
See,
are said
that's
to
the
have
part that I
recounted." Yeah.
disagree because I'll, how about this? I'll stop you when it becomes too numerous. You can
Yeah.
just start going and I'll tell you when I've got too many details because currently I don't have enough. So boy howdy, there's a place where it's always dark and there's a river and a luminous spot, and then that's just and then yada 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 the end.
Yeah.
And this was entertaining. People thought, like, hey, like the end of the story about the plant children. We're at the end of that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Now you're telling me I'm Jan in the year whatever, 1118, what
Yeah,
whatever.
early 12th century, sure.
I'm sitting around. I just got told this story about two plant children, and it was starting to go somewhere, and then it just ends like this. And I'm like, that shit slaps. Can you tell it again?
So here's where it's slightly different because it's being presented by a Victorian, right?
With like, is she real good looking, or how is so it's being presented how?
By a Victorian writer, right? So there's
Okay.
a because during the Victorian age,
Okay.
and in this case, you know, you get it is William of Newburgh, or excuse me, Joseph Stevens. So Joseph Stevenson is translating the work of William of Newburgh,
Okay.
which is the Historia Rerum Anglicarum. And this is what Joseph Stevenson says of that work that he translated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So now in that work, you know, does it exist? Is it part, you know, like those are questions that are a little more skeptical, you
Sure.
know, because where did that, yeah, anyway, here's, because I think, you know, here's something you're going to enjoy is we have another account.
Oh boy, howdy, hit me. Great.
And this one was presented 6 years before. This is in 1850.
Wow, we're doing a
Thomas
flashback. Great.
Kately wrote this. And this is a translation of the Chronicon Anglicanum by Ralph of Coggeshall Abbey. So it says, let's start up. Another wonderful thing, says Ralph of Coggeshall, happened in Suffolk at St. Mary's of the Woolpits. A boy and his sister were found by the inhabitants of that place near the mouth of a pit, which is there, who had the form of all their limbs, like to those of other men, but they differed in the color of their skin from all the people of our habitable world, for the whole
Okay.
surface of their skin was tinged of a green color.
Oh, okay. Wow. Bit of a roller coaster there. So, in my mind, it was that each limb was a different ethnicity, but now it seems like they're all green.
Yes. So what it's saying is, inhabitants, the form of all their limbs like to those of other men. So the same as other men. They
Okay,
differed.
copy you. Okay. A weird, it's a little bit of a Phantom Limb from Venture Brothers going on. Okay.
So they had the same limbs as everybody else, but they differed in the color of their skin from all of the people in the habitable world.
See, but the fact that they focused on the limbs, in my mind, the cartoon I'm building is the torso and head are not
Just not
green.
there. Yeah.
And then the arms and legs are very green. So cool. Hip, just go on.
Yeah. No one could understand their speech. When they were
Okay.
brought as curiosities to the house of a certain knight, Sir Richard de Calnat Weeks, they wept bitterly. Bread and
Sure, because
other.
they were probably kidnapped. Yep.
Right? Yeah, totally.
Barnum and Bailey, this is like circus bullshit. Yeah, sure.
Bread and other victuals were set before them, but they would touch none of them, though they were tormented by great hunger, as the girl afterwards acknowledged. At length, when some beans just cut with their stalks were brought into the house, they made signs with great avidity that they should be given to them. When they were brought, they opened the stalks instead of the pods, thinking the beans were in the hollow of them, but not finding them there, they began to weep anew.
Wow, these guys are such drama queens, but
Yeah.
I get it. If you're somewhere and you just don't like the food, oh, the worst.
Yeah. When those who were present saw this, they opened the pods and showed them the naked beans. They fed on these with delight and for a long time tasted no other food. The boy, however, was always languid and depressed, and he died within a short time.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
The girl enjoyed continual good health and, becoming accustomed to various kinds of food, lost completely that green color and gradually recovered the sanguine habit of her entire body. So she became, whatever your normal skin color is.
Sure.
She was afterwards regenerated by the layer of holy baptism. There we go. Can't leave out the
Yeah,
mighty JC.
I was like, the only difference between these stories, I was picturing them older in the second one, I will say. Whereas the first really hammered in that these are children, the second I was like, because again, I'm a bit slow. I didn't realize it's the same. Yeah, same people.
Well, it's in a
But
different town,
yeah, right. And
but
yeah,
it's the
just
exact same story. So
yeah.
anyway, I don't know. They had this layer of holy baptism and lived for many years in the service of that knight, as I have frequently heard from him and his family, and was rather loose and wanton in her conduct. Being frequently asked about the people of her country, she asserted that the inhabitants and all that they had in that country were of a green color, and that they saw no sun but enjoyed a degree of light like what is after sunset. Being asked how she came into this country with the aforesaid boy, she replied that as they were following their flocks, they came to a certain cavern, on entering which they heard a delightful sound of bells, ravished by whose sweetness they went for a long time wandering on through the cavern until they came to its mouth. When they came out of it, they were struck senseless by the excessive light of the sun and the unusual temperature of the air, and thus they lay for a long time. Being terrified by the noise of those who came on them, they wished to fly, but they could not find the entrance of the cavern before they were caught. Fly here means run away.
Okay, yeah, I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. What, go on.
This story is also told by William of Newbridge, which is the one we read, who
Okay.
places it in the reign of King Stephen. He says he long hesitated to believe it, but he was at length overcome by the weight of evidence. According to him, the place where the children appeared was about 4 or 5 miles from Bury St. Edmunds. They came in harvest time out of the wolf pits. They both lost their green hue and were baptized and learned English. The boy, who was the younger, died, but the girl married a man at Lenna and lived many years. They said,
Wow. Okay.
They said
Good for
their
her. Good for
they said their country was called St. Martin's Land, as that saint was chiefly worshipped there, that the people were Christians and had churches, that the sun did not rise there, but that there was a bright country which could be seen from theirs, being divided by a very broad river. So
Okay.
that's it.
It's crazy that even in their version of the craziest foreigners you've ever met, because I've never met someone with green skin. Like that isn't, I work in the film business. I meet people with green skin all the time, artificially so. But it's crazy to think, oh, they were different all these ways. They ate different. They also knew the love of God through Christ. Just so you know, they're Christians. But also green skin and ate shit, and the sun didn't rise. Like fucking nuts, nuts.
That is great. Let's see here. So how did you enjoy those, Jan?
I mean, they're vexing in that they're like two, an act and a half of a story with no real end. But I do like the idea of, plant pod people from a different nation landing in your space, and you have to like figure out what the fuck is their deal, right?
And it gives you I mean, there's literally the little green men, right?
Yeah, sure. I guess, yeah, a little bit of a Martian vibe. Yeah, funny that. Yeah.
The little green people that come out here, and they're from a strange land, and they don't speak any English, at least for sure. But then they're also green, and they have like a crazy place where it's night all the time, and kind of a interesting little story. So let's pivot here to a third story, which is going to be a little different. And
This one involves blue people.
I want to go back to what is a foreigner, right?
Okay.
That we answered real quick as we close this
Of
one out.
course. Yeah. I mean, green people from a place where the sun doesn't rise. That's a foreign land, my guy. That's fucking chock full of foreigners.
Yeah, and this story actually, this well, yeah. So, I mean, it just these stories, I should say. The other thing is that they're kind of translations of a text that's talking about a place that is even earlier, right? So let's see here. Yeah. So there's something to be said about those, but it does show up in this, history Rerum Anglicarum as one of them, which does come from, the roughly 1196, 1198, so the later 12th century, even though it's claiming that these events happened during King Stephen, which would be an earlier event, right? So,
Okay.
it's a big game of telephone. Right. And we're getting it presented by somebody who's translating it in the 19th century. Right.
Sure.
Yeah. But they found it interesting too.
Which I imagine is pretty common, right? That
Yes.
story's just ping pong their way up to us.
100%. Yeah. And especially, like I said, during the 19th century, there was a big push that the Middle Ages were cool, that they're kind of coming back to classicalism, and things like that, and so a lot of those stories, especially stories like this that are eccentric, odd,
Sure.
would have been wildly popular, to think about. All right, let me. This might dip into a two-parter. We'll see. You're gonna love this one, Jan.
Hit me.
The
Hit me.
foreigner also, I think, the idea of one. Definitely rings true in this one. We are looking at a tale. This one's from the roughly 15th century.
Okay.
Not roughly, it's from the 15th century, a later
Okay.
15th century.
So toward the end of the
Oh,
medieval
it
era.
tell yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And it is covering events of I guess the mid to late 15th century there.
Okay.
Anyway, let's I'm not going to tell you more because you're going to figure this shit out in the first like line. There was in the Wallachian land.
Wallachian?
So that's Romania.
Okay.
So you had Wallachia and Moldova, if you know those.
Okay. I've heard of Moldova. Wallachia, not so much.
Both in Romania, to the south at the time would have been the Ottoman Empire, what is
Okay.
now parts of Bulgaria, Macedonia, Serbia, and then Moldova. Ukraine's right above
Okay.
Moldova today's a it is would have been the Russian Empire, and then to the west would have been the Austrian Empire, which has like Serbia, Bosnia or Herzegovina, Hungary, those countries, and then the Black Sea is on the coast, so
Okay,
there you go.
sure.
So now you're situated, Romania. Let's go here.
Vampire
So,
country, so yeah.
yeah, a Christian of the Greek faith, a prince by the name.
Okay, woo. So Greek, you're great. Go on. Sorry, that was just go on.
Greek Orthodox, right? That's
Yep.
different. A prince by the name of Dracula in the Wallachian language.
I knew it. I knew we were in vampire country.
You
Oh,
nailed
I knew it. Oh, great. Here we go.
it.
The fucking Nosferatu's hot topic right now. Fucking, I'm playing Castlevania on the retro style. Let's go. Fucking
Yeah.
Dracula.
This
Fuck
is
yes.
well, I might as well blow the load on this one. It is the earliest story of Dracula that we've got. So
Wow,
yeah,
so this
so
is like the one. This is okay, great.
yeah, th this is a translation. I do not speak 15th century Russian, nor am I gonna
Sure,
learn
yep,
for this one.
sure.
So yeah, here it is, but I stumbled across this and I was like, oh, okay. Let's we've been meaning to branch out into some Asian text, so this yeah, fits the
Sure, yeah,
bill. Yeah.
sure.
So there was we got that one a name of Dracula in the Wallachian language, which means devil.
Dang, so just straight up, this guy, don't fuck with him. He's the devil.
Yeah, he was greatly malicious. As he was in name, so also was his life.
Oh, fuck. Okay,
And
fuck.
part
Great.
of me wants to read that with a Russian accent,
Oh,
you know?
100%.
Yeah. As he
This is.
was in name, so also was his life.
This is the
Yes.
story of the darkest life
Yeah.
that's ever drunk.
Guys
Like,
smoking a cigarette while writing this, you know? I mean, it's just,
yeah,
yeah.
and staring out at a
Yeah.
field of lost dreams. Like this guy, oh boy. All right, all right.
At one time, emissaries came to him from the Turkish Sultan. And as they went before him, they bowed according to their custom without taking their caps from their heads. And he asked them, "Why do you do this? You come before a great lord and ask disgracefully towards me." And they answered, "Such is the custom, Lord, in our land." So he said to them, "And I shall uphold your law so that you adhere to it firmly." And he ordered that their hats be fastened to their heads with little iron nails.
Dang.
Then,
Fuck. Okay.
then he dismissed them, having said to them, "Go say to your Lord, he is accustomed to tolerating this disgracefulness from you, but we are not accustomed. So let him not send his customs to other lords who don't want them, but let him keep them himself."
Dang. So he just, as a note to their, as a sign of his own power to the neighboring nation, he nailed a bunch of hats to the messenger's heads and sent them back. You better believe those guys got out of eyesight from that town and immediately took those nails out. You know they did. They just, the second they were like, "Hey, John, you think we're good? Yeah. Could you help me with this? Because this hurts like shit." You know those guys are just like, "Oh, fuck that noise. What an asshole."
Yeah, or severely lobotomized.
Oh,
That's
sure.
yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. They have nails in their brain. The Sultan was greatly angered by this, set out to attack Dracula, and marched against him with many troops.
Okay.
And Dracula, having gathered together such troops as he had, attacked the Turks in the night and slaughtered many of them.
Sick, cool.
But it is not possible to engage in war against a great army with few people. And Dracula himself began to look over those who had returned with him from that battle. To the man who was wounded in the chest, he would give great honor and accolades. But the man who was wounded in the back, that man, he would have impaled on a stake through the anus. So,
So even back then, he's noticed this guy. Fuck, he's the Impaler. Fuck yes. Also, I hate to say it, I'm picturing him in head to toe leather. He has corpse paint on. Nothing but buckles. You know how goths always, it's nothing but
Oh, yeah.
buckles, right? So he's just got buckles on buckles on buckles. Fucking long flowing hair. Oh, love this.
Oh,
Big
yeah. And this
fan.
is
Big fan.
that era of combat where cannons are pretty common, you know, and they're pretty good at this point,
Sure.
but
Okay.
you still have like halberdmen and swordsmen, you
Of
know,
course,
so
yeah, it's that weird mix. Yeah, sure.
So this is just probably the darkest time and one of the darkest times in warfare, you know, it's still like super brutal. As he stakes them through the anus, he says, "You are not a man, but a woman." And then just throws it on there. Oh, he is the devil after all. Misogynistic devil in his face.
Exactly right. Like, what does that even mean?
Means he's pretty evil, you know. And then when he marched against the Turks, he said thusly to all of his troops, "Whoever wants to think about death, let him not go with me, but stay here." And the Sultan, having heard this, proceeded afterwards with great disgrace. Countless of his men died, and he was unable to march against Dracula. Yeah, because Dracula whipped up his troops, you know,
So
into,
Draco's holding his ground. The Sultan, which, fuck, how come we haven't seen this movie?
Yeah, this is so much better in some
It's
ways
like
than some of
300 with
them.
vampires. Like,
Yeah,
fucking,
totally.
let's go. Let's go. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's way better than Dracula 2000. Let's see here. So the Sultan sent an emissary to Dracula, so kind of like a, you know, messenger in time of war, right? In order that Dracula pay tribute to him. Dracula greatly honored this emissary and showed him all of his estate and said to him, "Not only shall I pay tribute to the Sultan, but I will go and serve him with all of my troops and all of my treasury. And as he commands me, so shall I serve him. And you will report to the Sultan that I am coming to him so that he will not command any kind of evil to be committed against me or my retinue on his land. And I shall go to the Sultan shortly after you, and I will bring the tribute and go before him myself." So he's saying, "Okay, yeah, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna, you know, pay my respects to the Sultan and give him all my things, right? Like, you know."
And he's bringing his homies. He's got his retinue. I know that word.
And the Sultan, because he still has inferior numbers. That's, I think, where this is coming from. The Sultan, having heard from his emissary that Dracula would serve him, honored the emissary and presented him with many gifts. And the Sultan was greatly pleased because at that time he was fighting with others in the East. And he quickly, so he's trying to buy out Dracula essentially, somewhat, right? Like saying, "If you serve me, you know, you're going to be okay and we can go out." And the Sultan was greatly pleased because he was fighting in the East. He quickly made known throughout all the cities and all the land that when Dracula should set out, no one should commit any kind of evil against him, but they should render honor unto him instead. So Dracula set out with the Sultan's officers, having gathered his entire army, and they rendered great honor unto him. And Dracula traveled for about 5 days into the Sultan's land, and all of a sudden turned back and began to take captive the cities and the villages. And he captured and butchered a great multitude of people.
Wow, so just halfway through the Sultan's land, he just starts fucking aggroing out. So Dracula's kind of an asshole. He's a dick. Okay, great. The impaling of a person, that could be forgiven, but this, what an insult.
Let's see. And he can some of the Turks they impaled on stakes, while the others, even unto the nursing babes, they flayed and burnt on the fields.
Wow, darkness.
Nothing remained. The whole land was made empty.
Wow, so he's like fall of the House of Usher, just pulling like everything, just nothing left, just wasteland in his wake. Cool. This guy's a good villain. Can't wait for the Sultan to come up.
And Dracula drove others who were Christian onto his land and settled them there.
Could you imagine?
And having taken a vast multitude of conquests, he returned. And having honored the Sultan's officer, he dismissed them, having said, "Go, you will tell your Sultan what you have seen. I have served him as far as I was able. And if my service is pleasing to him, I will serve him still as much as is in my power." And the Sultan was unable to do anything to him, but was defeated in shame.
Dang! So he's just, he went into the Sultan's land, fucking bedlam, just wiped out parts of it, came back, and then the Sultan wasn't able to come up. He just got defeated. Okay.
Yeah, he's fighting like a big war on multiple sides, and
yeah, sure. And he just fucked up, and Dracula came up. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And so much did Dracula despise wickedness in his land that whosoever should commit any kind of evil deed, thievery, or banditry, or any kind of lie or untruth would in no way live.
Oh, okay. So eye for an eye makes the whole land.
Not even eye for an eye. This is fingernail
rough.
For a corpse or three.
Yeah, this
you know,
is,
yeah.
Dracula's methinks the lady doth protest too much.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think he's a bit of an asshole himself.
Yep, it's that Jima, that meme, straight to jail, you know.
Straight to,
yeah, except death, right? So there's one punishment for every crime. Yeah.
Yep. No, this is essentially Dr. Doom in Latveria.
Yeah, totally.
This is,
yeah. Whether he be a grand noble or a priest or a monk or a simple man, or whether he be one who owned great wealth, he would not be able to redeem himself from death. So terrible was Dracula.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
His spring and well were in one place. So, you know, to get water, right?
Yeah.
And many travelers from many lands came to that well in spring. And many people came and drank water from the well and the spring, for it was cold and sweet.
Okay. Nice.
And Dracula set a goblet, magnificent and wonderfully gold, on an empty spot by the well, and he set it on that spot so that whoever desired to drink water could drink by means of that goblet, and for however long it was there, no one dared to take that goblet.
Okay, I'm sorry. So there's a well with a spring, so like a source of water in Dracula's land.
Mm-hmm.
Dracula comes up and puts a cool looking chalice. It has to have like little dragon. No, bat. It's all bat themed, right? It looks
Okay,
all
okay.
bat like. He sets that fucker down and he's like, anyone who wants this, go nuts. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And no one touches it because
No.
they all know, they all know fucking Dracula's a sack of shit. And this comes with some added nuance that I am not understanding at the moment and will lead to me being with a pike up my ass. Okay. Wow. Okay. Sure. Great. Yep. I wouldn't drink from it. I'd probably avoid it like the plague. Yeah, I'd be like, no, fucking don't touch that.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's how you end up dead, like the Sultan.
Once, Dracula issued a proclamation throughout the entire land that whoever was old or infirm or ill in some way or poor, all should come to him.
Oh boy, this is not going to go well. My guy Dracula does not like to do good things for these kinds of folk. Woo!
And a countless multitude of poor people and strangers gathered, expecting great mercy from him. And he ordered that they all be assembled in a great hall built for that purpose, and
okay.
ordered that they be given enough to eat and drink. And having eaten, they were joyful. And he came to them himself and said to them, "What more do you need?" And they all answered him, "God and your majesty know, my lord, as God instructs you, So he said to them, "Would you like me to take away your sorrow in this world so that you want for nothing?"
Here it comes. Here it comes. He's a fucking genie where he's like setting him up for failure. Here it comes.
And expecting from him something grand, they all said, "We do, O Lord." And he ordered that the hall be shut up, that a fire be set, and everyone there was burnt up.
Fuck. Fuck. So he just closed them doors and lit the fuck, dude. That's not chill and not far from what I think some people want to do with our homeless people today. Isn't that fun? That tradition kept going. Darkness, man. Oh, Dracula's not a good guy. He's kind of an asshole. Yeah, he's a bad guy.
He's
That
pretty
dude.
fucked
That
up.
dude. Yeah. Perhaps we live in an era where every villain has a like side to them that you start, Thanos, oh fuck, he just wants balance in the world, or you can always see the good side of them. Dracula, not so much. This guy fucking sucks. And maybe it's the fact that they always make him hot now that I sympathize a lot more with Dracula, but no, this guy sucks. This guy's a fucking shit.
I don't know. This is okay. And he said to his boyars, boyars are they're right under princes in
Whoa, you're
Russian
telling me, okay,
aristocracy.
in Russian aristocracy, I was about to say, you're throwing in a whole new level of the hierarchy at me. Fuck. Fuck. Okay, boyars. I would hate to be a boyar. I would rather be anything below or above them, but not a boyar. OS.
That is kind of
Yeah,
the you're a target for sure.
that sucks. All right, so tell me about the boyars.
Dracula says to them, "Know that I have done this first so that the poor would not bother people."
Oh, you know how they are with their lives and all. You know what they
cured,
do with
cured.
their fucking, oh, their need to be alive.
Now you're getting it. And so that no one would be poor in my land, but all would be rich.
I mean, that's one way. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Drac. What else you got?
Second, I freed them so that none of them would suffer from poverty or from sickness in
That's one
this
way of,
world.
yep, that's one way of looking at it. I'm glad you added the in this world caveat on that. Yep, cool. Yep. All right. Cool.
Right. And with that, Jan, we're gonna have to pick this up in a quick part tour. There's a decent amount of this story left that I think
Jesus Christ, he keeps going.
he does keep going. And rather than push this, I would rather shorten the next I'd rather shorten the next section than try to keep this one running well over an hour.
Okay,
So
sure.
thanks to everybody. And next time we'll be wrapping up the story of Dracula.
Much love. What a ride. What a ride.
Little green men and vampires.
I mean, sign me up. This is what I'm here for. So yeah.
In the medieval ages, dude. It's cool.
Yeah,
This is we should have saved this for the Halloween episode.
no
It would have
shit.
been
No
good.
shit. Yep.
I'll have to do some real digging on that one next time, but it'll be easy. There's centuries worth of stories to go through. So,
I
all right.
love you, the internet.